Podcast After Show, aka Spiraling, the podcast where we spiral about things that may or may not be figure skating. I'm rebranding.
I'm also Netta. I can also speak. I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Did you almost say that you were Megan?
No, I almost said that was meh, which is how I'm feeling, I guess.
Where's the lie?
Yeah, I'm post-verbal.
You're fabulous as always, as far as I can tell.
Oh my god, thank you. We're rebranding. That threw me off. We're rebranding a little bit because we had a very nice conversation about how this would have been a nice title for a show. But then I was like, wait a second, we have a show which hasn't had a name. And now it does.
So we are now spiraling. And and we are now spiraling.
We are spiraling. We are still very much in the midst of the Grand Prix season. So this is pretty straightforward. We're just going to talk more about what we did on main feed, which in this case is Canada.
Do you want to do men first? Just to mix it up?
Sure, let's fucking do some men.
Okay, so we're going to talk about people who did not podium.
I want to, right out the gate, I want to talk about how both of our boyfriends were there. My Georgian boyfriend, your Japanese boyfriend, both of them were there. My boyfriend had a very, very rough time. God bless him.
Mine maybe had a worse time. Just saying.
Well, actually, wait, hold on. Both of them were at some point in Dead Last. So I feel like we can bond over this.
I think in the final results, Morrissey ended up in sixth and KG ended up in 10th. But in the short, Morrissey was dead last. And in the three, KG was dead last. So we're like blood brothers now.
Yeah, we've had evenly terrible time about this. We personally, as people who were there and skated.
Yeah, precisely. Well, at least your American boyfriend, Jason Brown, got silver.
My American boyfriend, Jason Brown, did get silver. The true winner of my heart at all times. I have too many boyfriends. I hope the people who've ended up on Patreon know that I'm doing this in jest. I am not.
We're not those people.
I'm not expecting my mom to, like, sell me to Morrissey Kvitalashvili when I wake up or something. Like, this is not Wattpad. Okay. It's just...
Yeah, we say boyfriend in just the loosest possible way. We say boyfriend the way that I used to say boyfriend when I was like 3 or 4, and I thought that if you had a crush on somebody, that made them your boyfriend. And I remember so vividly the moment I found out that that wasn't true.
Oh no!
It was maybe one of the more defining moments of my life. Yeah,
I am so sorry.
Yeah, but jokes on whoever broke that news to me, because I clearly didn't learn.
You've learned absolutely nothing in the past like 20-something years.
I refuse to accept this truth. A relationship is between me and me and my fantasy of the other person.
Honestly, that's very healthy as long as you don't go like sending like hate mail to their actual partners or some shit. We've promised the people that you're going to talk to me about KG and his outfits.
Oh yeah. So KG's short program is a Neon Genesis Evangelion program. Best anime ever.
Correct.
And yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because I would have just really loved to see him do the theme. I feel like the theme song is iconic. Everybody knows it. It would have just been fun. Like, if you're going to do it, do it. But I can see why he would pick. So the thing he actually skates to is the score
from the movie, right?
The movies, yeah.
Yeah.
So not that anybody is like, I've paid money to these people, then please bore me with Evangelion lore. But basically, there were the original handful of movies.
The people who are here want this from us.
Or know already, but there were the handful of movies that came out in the 90s when the show came out. And then there are the new movies that they're remaking, which have been sort of coming out. I remember the first one came out when I was in high school, and they've just been taking ages and ages and ages, and they're still coming out. And they're, like, sort of a retelling of the series, but then they went completely in a million different directions. And I haven't seen any of the later ones, but I think from what I can tell, they're like aesthetically cool and have cool music, but I don't understand what the fuck is happening with the plot at all. Which in many ways is true of the original as well. But yeah, it's kind of like Spanish guitar. In other words, is what KG is skating to. And I think it's cool. It works. It's definitely like stylish. He's got the like black sci-fi costume with the purple and green accents, which are like the Ava Unit 1 colors, without being too on the nose, like literally wearing like a rubber suit.
He's not in full cosplay.
No, I mean, I would support it, but it's interesting that he and his team seem to have gone the route of like subtle cosplay, like subtle pulling one over on them, like such as, like, it reminds me of the kind of thing where, like, when I tried out for a cappella groups in college, I sang the Utada Hikaru song from Kingdom Hearts, and I thought nobody would know that I was, like, a huge fucking weeb. And, of course, there were people that were like, this is from a video game. It's like that. Like, you're trying to play it off like this classical Japanese musician that I happen to know because I am a woman of culture.
And then it's like, no, this is anime. And if Jimmy Ma has taught us anything, is that anime is extremely cool.
That's right. Jimmy Ma said, we will no longer hide. We will be weebs and proud. He's the first one who ever said that in 2021.
Weebs and proud. I think that's what X-Men is
about. If that
catches
on, it's true. If that catches on, I'm going to like throw myself into the river. If that's my impact in life.
Which part of it? Being a weeb and proud?
No, just like if I do nothing else in life, I really don't want the one thing that sticks to be like people being like, it's okay to be a fucking nerd. Well, I do actually. That's cool. It wasn't that I don't think it's cool to be a nerd. It's that I think it's lame to make that your soapbox in an era where it's actually so mainstream.
Yeah.
So it's like, at this point, it's come back around to be cringe to like insist that nerds have to take back their coolness when it's been like fine for a long time.
Yeah. I don't have a joke about this. It's just like the highest grossing movies are fucking Marvel and shit, and people are making literal millions playing D&D. I do not think we need to remind people that being a nerd is fine.
Yeah, that's true. What was the free skit? I just remember he wore a lot of brown.
He did wear a lot of brown.
It was like the soundtrack to something.
It's Whiplash. It's this piece that part of it is from this album from the 70s, but it was used in Whiplash. Like, okay, so Wikipedia says the album features Hank Levy's composition, which provided the title for and was featured in the 2014 film Whiplash. So it's a piece from the 70s, but then it was like repurposed for Whiplash, which is just such a bizarrely deep cut. Again, being a man of culture, but being a man of culture via a film that's like very much critically acclaimed and was like huge a couple years ago.
Well, it's a couple things. It's like sometimes there are movies that the figure skating community latches onto with the absolute like force of a thousand suns. Yes. And the holidays in those suns. and then there's sometimes movies that are like about music or about a musician or like have a dope soundtrack, and the figure skating community just totally ignores them. And Whiplash is one of those ones that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember there being like a ton of skating programs with Whiplash.
Yeah.
And so like when he did this, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. It's a film about music. I haven't seen it though. And I know what it's about, but I haven't seen it. So I didn't like clock whether or not it was like the soundtrack or the incidental music or diegetic music. Like I didn't know what it was. I was like, ah, drums. This seems right.
Drums. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, it's like the, like a piece that is diegetically used. I have not seen Whiplash either because I felt like it might stress me out. I think the entire point of it is that it stresses people out.
Some of us have had mean music teachers in real life and don't need to experience that solely through escapism.
Yeah, I also like work in the music academy now, so I'm already re-traumatizing myself. I don't need to be watching a film about it as well. But it really works for Kate. I felt like it's one of those programs that, like, I don't think anyone else could pull off.
Yeah, I think that Jackie Wong hit the nail on the head when he said that KG is one of the most entertaining skaters in the field. Because Lord knows this man was, like, really just kind of a caricature of himself at this event, because he was so entertaining and so fun to watch and, like, moving and doing footwork and handwork and facework in ways that like nobody else was doing. And yet it was just like 90% jops all the way through. God bless him.
When we jumping and we popping, baby, we jumping.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Netta? Is that he heard that, you know, in the absence of like a super regular skating season the past couple of years, that I had drifted off and gotten really into K-pop, and he's trying to get my attention back by jopping.
Yeah, this was targeted. Again, we're not insane and we do all of this in jest, but this was for Megan. It was one of those things
I'm
where you're
kidding 90% of the time. Am I kidding now?
It's one of those things probably. where you post like a close friend's story on Insta, or you change your away message or something with the hope of one person seeing it. You're like, this is for mass consumption. And then you're just checking if this one person has seen it.
Yeah, exactly. Except I don't think you can. I didn't have any features on my instant messaging chat things where you could check to see who had seen it. Yeah. And so I immediately went to like, could you do that on LinkedIn? What if people are doing that on LinkedIn?
I don't know. I mean, on Instagram, you can very much see who's watched your story. I say not from experience at all. You can very much see who's seen your story.
That's true. That's true. I have seen instances of like, we haven't spoken in a long time, but you always look at my story. What's that about?
Yep. Yeah, we're not going to get into this. I would like to talk about, well, so many men were at this event. Hey, shout out to Roman Sadowski, who ended up not having a fantastic time. I really feel for him.
Yeah, me too. He's still lovely to watch.
Oh, yeah. I feel like he's, I mean, first of all, we have to acknowledge that Canada's had a very rough time with practice in the past like year and a half, because like we said on main feed, they are one of the few federations that seems to be taking safety very, 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 very seriously. So they've been shut down like just so many times, and all of their practice capabilities have been so limited. So I can imagine it's been rough. And I think like Nam spoke about it like a couple weeks ago, that it's just been like mentally hard for them to practice as well, just because it's been so uncertain. So I feel like it's expected to not be at 100% when you've just not had a literal ice time.
Yeah, and it's got to be hard to then take that and go out and, you know, skate in front of a home audience, yeah, who is so supportive, and yet like know that you can't give them your exact best. And like, you know, and then we have Keegan, who came in fifth, which is perfectly fine, but like just after having done so well and then doing so well in the short and then in the free, he was just having some kind of a like leg, foot, potentially boot issue.
Yeah,
it was just awful because he fell on his face.
Yeah, that was so scary. Also, side note, people are getting on Jackie's case for calling for concussion protocols. When that happened, people on the internet were actually like, actually, he hit his chin, not his head. And I'm like, where do you think the chin is?
The chin is impossible to locate, is the thing. That no one can truly say the location and speed of the chin at the same time. And that's where it gets difficult.
I just, like, I feel like this is one of the most clear cases of like, hey, you should probably monitor yourself for the next like 18 hours to see if you don't, you know, feel like you might be concussed. And people on the internet were like, it was his chin, which is an insane hill to die on.
Yeah, no kidding. I hit my head like pretty hard on the inside of the refrigerator a couple weeks ago. And I was fine, other than the fact that I just cried hysterically for like 15 minutes because of like shock. And then I was still convinced I had a concussion for like 3 days. And everyone in my life was like, Megan, you're fine.
I've had four concussions in my life, which
I clearly have never had one, which is why I thought that was a concussion.
Oh, the thing is, when it is a concussion, you know it's a concussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had four of them, and it's not a fun time. I got one of them by jumping on a bed real hard. I was very much in my early 20s. I moved into a very nice dorm room, and I had a massive bed with a very bouncy mattress. And I was like, it would be so cute if I'm just, like, jumping on this bed. And I did, and I hit my head on the ceiling. I never said I was smart. So anyway, yeah, I always root for Keegan. He had such a good time in the short program. And I think he's been having, by Keegan standards, a very good time so far. Because, my God, he tends to be so chaotic. And I respect him for that.
Yeah, he's been consistent in his own way. And I really hope he can sort of sort out whatever's going on with his leg or whatever, because he is having an otherwise very consistent season, and it would really suck if the thing that, like, was giving him inconsistency was just, like, a dumb injury as opposed to, like, you know, a technique issue or something that he's worked through, you know?
Yeah. It would suck the most if it's not even... I mean, injury is, like, the sad option. It would just simply suck if it was just, like, a both thing. Because, like, remember a couple years back when it was, like, God, it was, like, 5 years ago when he had that. He had a very rough time at some fucking challenger where he... his lace broke. It was, like, full, like, Tonya Harding. Oh, yeah. Just, like, he... his boot was bad. And he had to stop and, like, do the whole thing. Like, it is a part of it.
Makar came back. I missed him, but I didn't really realize I missed him because he was such a big deal in the Grand Prix final calculations, like, a couple years ago. He came so close to making it to the final. He didn't, right? It was, like... I remember furiously doing math for it. It was the last Grand Prix final before the pandemic, and he had, it was one of those years where it was just such a question mark who was going to get that sixth spot, because like a million different people had gotten bronze medals and then had yet to get a second thing, and so it was like it could be anyone, and he was one of them, and he was kind of a wild card because we didn't know who he was. He had a bronze, and then he ended up not doing great at NHK, so he didn't make it to the final, but he made a big impression, and it was good to see him again.
You know, it's interesting that I was just like earlier today thinking about him, just completely separately from this, that he is one of those people that a couple years ago, exactly that season that you're, like, recalling, he was, it was one of those things of, like, oh, shit, this is huge. This, like, he is dangerous. And it's one of those things where he's been having, like, I mean, first of all, it's been, you know, the world's been fucked. But, oh, so he's been having, like, growing pains of, like, it hasn't been as consistently dangerous as we thought it could be. Like, a while ago, but this, I felt like this was a very good definitive, like, statement of, like, still here, still doing my thing. Obviously not gonna make the final, but had a very good showing, I think.
Yeah, and I was kind of thinking recently about how we talk so much about how the half-life of a Russian female single skater's career is so short, and it always kind of felt like the men had more time.
Yeah.
And I feel like that cycle is kind of speeding up too, because we are seeing a lot of like young skaters who are like having a great time and then disappearing. And we're seeing some of the really, really reliable skaters start to have a rough time or start to not be able to do their most difficult jumps every time. And so I'm like, are we getting into a period of uncertainty on the men's side too?
I don't even know. And I feel like men's Russian figure skating is completely a thing of its own because it's all different camps. Like, it's not with the ladies, we're having that turnaround because of the way predominantly Sambo is treating and producing their skaters. And with the men, it's several things. It's first of all the Russian culture of like, we're gonna support and focus and like highlight whoever we think is gonna be bringing in the most medals, but also with like the way the boys are allowed to mature and grow up through like puberty is different because, and I'm sorry, this is about to get like gross about like bodies and shit, but welcome, we're talking about Russian figure skating. What I'm trying to say is that the girls are really not allowed to have like the puberty development, like developing muscle and growing part of it. And with some of the boys, like across all federations, it's just sometimes we see someone who was very, very good when they were tiny and then they grow like 12 inches and you're like, well, we gotta deal with all of those limbs now. And that's just like a completely different, like hard thing to go through. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I totally do. You're right. And it's, you're right. It's like a bunch of different coaches. I mean, it's three or four, but still that's a lot. That's diverse for this field. And speaking of Russian men, Alexander Samarin was there and had a difficult time for him, I think.
God bless him. Yeah, we know my journey with this boy. It's been up and down. I continue to simply have so many questions about his short program. I mean, I understand that we all want to live in a world where everything we do is a tribute to Kari Sakamoto, but I have questions.
I have even more questions, to be honest, about his Free Skate, which is the most chaotic mix of music.
Yeah.
That I felt like I was on the Willy Wonka boat ride the entire time. I just had no idea what was coming next, and I felt insane. And I was kind of having a good time, but I was also very scared.
Do you think that you would feel more grounded in the reality he's painting for you if he had a face on the back of his shirt to tell you how you're supposed to be feeling?
You know, maybe that face is actually useful. It could be like those posters where it's like, point to the grimacing smiley face cartoon emoji to show how much pain you're in.
It's just like, please indicate your level of well-being and or understanding. It's like very on the nose theater where you're like, I am going to tell you exactly what I'm doing. There will be no metaphor about this. We're just straight up gonna tell you the face on my back is the emotion I'm trying to portray.
Well, right. And then you get something like his current Free Skate where there is zero indication as to what it's supposed to be or what anyone was thinking at any step along the way. And the part of me that enjoys weird stuff enjoyed it, even though I sort of hated it. It's the fact that I sort of enjoy being deeply confused and upset, which should have been evident from the earlier in this episode when I was talking about how I love Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah, and also your master's degree in experimental theater and also just everything we continue to do.
Yeah. Do I think that it was deliberately avant-garde? No. But do I care? Not really, because I liked it. It tickled me.
I feel like that's a very good assessment. I honestly, it's kind of aspirational to be doing accidental avant-garde art that is upsetting, but in a way that's fun to look at.
I mean, that's kind of what cringe culture was about, right? Like, I feel like we're always at some point in the zeitgeist really enjoying stuff that is accidentally entertaining.
Well, I feel like cringe culture comes with the implication that it is bad or like lowbrow or something to be enjoying those things, and that it's like, oh, guilty pleasures, oh, that's cringe or whatever. And I'm here to champion for just like unabashedly just completely committing to enjoying the weird thing.
Oh yeah, like you can enjoy things for different reasons, but there's no such thing as ironic enjoyment. Like, you enjoy things or you don't. It's just enjoyment is one thing. And I enjoyed this absolute fucking acid trip of a question mark of a Free Skate.
Amazing. Tomoki had a rough time and I was sad about it. But also he is on KG's level of just like, he will show up and he will do things that no one else is doing. And it will be insane. And I'm very excited to see, especially his Free Skate. I want to see it clean so badly because I think it has the potential to be fucking amazing. And I'm excited for that.
I completely agree. And I think, like, obviously it's a sport and we want to win, so not to get like too Ted Lasso about it. But I think that if I was a skater and I was given the choice between being really, really entertaining and memorable and unique and individual or being like really technically good, I think I would rather be really memorable and individual.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I think that's just, again, like where we come from with our arts education. But like, I remember Tomoki every time he skates, and it doesn't matter how well or poorly he does.
Yeah, because his style is so unique and his abilities are so one of a kind that the actual technical things that he gets graded on are kind of secondary. So even when it is very good, even when he scores very high, when the jumps and the everything is fine, it still feels like all of his programs feel like show programs in the best possible way, because there's just so much that's embellished and beautiful in them that's fun and entertaining, you know?
Yeah, that's it. I think that the skaters who don't treat the exhibition programs and the competitive programs too differently in terms of entertainment level are the ones who really get me the most.
Yes. Or,
not get me as in like, they understand me.
No, but
get
they
me
like,
as in like, they get my vote.
Yes.
Yeah. I would love to move away from Tickle. I know I'm the one who introduced Tickle into this. I would love to take it off the table.
Okay, we're vetoing Tickling. I do want to circle back to Ted Lasso for just half a second to share with the listeners my theory that we are the Ted Lasso of figure skating. Just because we do not know anything about the technical aspect of what we're trying to do, but we are going to show up and we are going to be kind about it. We also do have like 20 Emmy nominations.
We like to win Emmys. And we like to be prominent figures in a sport that we don't really know that much about comparatively.
We like to show up and be like, we do not understand this. However, here's some musical theater stuff that we know about.
Yeah, that's Ted Lasso.
Speaking of Ted Lasso, should we talk about women?
Sure. I just want to quickly also be like, Sota Yamamoto is also another one of those who's always gorgeous to watch. He's always bringing like so much earnest romantic drama. He gets it. Conrad Orzel continuing to improve, continuing to go out and be like, look at all these jumpies I have. Jumpies, ew.
Jumpies?
Why did I do
ma'am?
That?
Ugh. The ugh. Tickles and the jumpies. What is happening?
I don't know, man. It was daylight savings last night. Something's wrong with me. I got too much sleep.
I will say that I did watch this event, like I said, with my roommate, and he was very charmed by how 2/3 of Team Canada at this event were straight up just Slavic boys. He was like, I didn't know that so many Slavic boys skate for Canada. I was like, yup, straight up half of them.
Yeah, that's not even like all of them.
Yeah, no, we just... I'm not going to go into the geopolitical factors of why that's happening, but we did enjoy it.
Yes, we did. So now women.
So now women. I'm such a huge fan of this new wave of Canadian women's figure skating. I understand that like they didn't particularly have the best time at this event. And again, the same disclaimer about like Canada's limited prep time goes for the women as well, obviously. But I deeply enjoyed all three of the Canadian ladies, and I think we're slowly but surely out of that weird moment post the past Olympic cycle where we're like, oh no, what is like, who's gonna like take up the mantle of Canadian women's skating? And I think they're gonna be fine.
Yeah, I agree. I think that in a few years it's gonna be so freaking exciting. And so yeah. It's like right now we're still a little bit in a rebuilding time, but you're right. You can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel now. Like if we have three really promising, we, as though I'm Canadian, but Canada has three really promising women that are
in that moment, I swear we were Canadian. Yeah. Also, this feels like this was 12 years ago, but this was the event of these just simply so many triple axels. And we don't need to rehash it. We talked about it already, but I just wanted to shout out the concept of women.
The concept of women is such a good concept.
Well, real quick, the concept of women and Alyssa Luke is, again, not going to speculate about the child's gender, but they are very open about it online. So women and Alyssa Luke with their triple axels.
Yes, people who skated in the event called the women's event.
Yes.
So Mai Mihara is very much back this season.
She is. I'm so proud of her. This is such a fantastic comeback story because, I mean, she's had a hard time and has been, you know, health things and just shitty, shitty world events. But she's so, so very much back. Also, her fucking Fury of the Forest dress is the most dreamy thing I've witnessed in my entire life.
Yeah, you know, I love it when a skater pushes themselves out of their comfort zone, but I also really love it when a skater is, like, hyper aware of their brand and just does it really well. And that's I also want to say she was, like, back last season, but, like, insofar as anyone was back, insofar as the sport was even back.
Yeah.
So this is her full big season coming back, and it's so amazing to see that she can still skate so well even though she's gone through so much. And, like, I don't know anything about her health journey or anything, but I do want to say, just because I didn't know, that, like, she obviously just physically looks different than she used to, and that's part of the illness. I didn't know if that was the case or not, but I found out that it was. And, like, maybe that seems obvious, but, like, in a sport where body issues are such a thing, I just, like, wasn't sure. And I recently found out that it's part of it. And doesn't matter, but, like, I was just curious because, you know, again, like, we don't like to speculate about the way people look or make judgments about it, but it's alarming when you see someone look very different after a lot of time away.
Yeah, she's just like, her body has struggled a lot, and it's honestly impressive that she's back. And I have only good things to say about her, except for her short program music, Megan. Megan, it's Les Mis, but it's Glee. It's Glee, but it's Les Mis. It's Les Mis, but it's Idina Menzel and fucking Lea Michele scream singing.
I don't know how much anyone cares to hear me talk about vocal technique, but both of them annoy me a little bit.
Well,
Lea Michele has a lot of really gorgeous stuff that goes on in her voice. I think her voice is just naturally really beautiful, and she has a lot of really good instincts. But I also think that all Glee was, like, pitch-corrected to death. Like, it was pitch-corrected to death. And I'm not saying this from a perspective of somebody who's like, auto-tune is bullshit. It makes people who can't sing sing. Like, no. Pitch correction is the industry standard. It's been going on for a very long time. Even before auto-tune existed, people were getting pitch corrected in, like, a very, like, let's take an X-Acto knife and a fucking reel of audio shit and do some cutting and pasting. Like, I'm an audio professional, and I can say I think that this is fine. I do think, as somebody who has done pitch correction on studio vocals, that there is a way of doing it that is lazy, that produces kind of that robot flattened, there's no life in it sound. And there's a way of doing it that's really intricate and time consuming and requires a lot of skill and knowledge that you can do it to make them still sound human. And it just doesn't sound like anybody in the Glee team was doing that. And I understand television is a quick turnaround, but, like, whatever. I just think it sounds bad.
All of this is very smart and very observant, but here's my question. Les Miserables has been around for about 30 years. And is one of the most beautiful scores in contemporary musical theater, or just, like, musical theater in general, I fucking guess. And there has been so many fantastic performers who have performed this song in very, very different interpretations of it. We've had hysterical, dramatic Fantines, and we've had, like, just completely heartbroken Fantines, and we've had, like, Fantine is angry at the entire world, and also her teeth are missing, so she's just, like, struggling a little. So there's ways and ways and ways to interpret this. It's an Olympic season. Why the fuck are you choosing the Glee version?
Yeah, and I wonder who's responsible for that. If it's Mai and she really loves the show, I kind of am like, you know what? That's fine, because you can't do anything wrong in my eyes. But if it's somebody who works for her, I'm upset, because...
What if she was like, hey, I want to do Les Mis, and someone's like, yeah, I gotcha. And they went on, like, YouTube, and they were like, I dreamed a dream from Les Miserables, and that was, like, the first hit. And they were like, fine, sure.
Considering that I just was so, like, I'm an audio professional, actually, no, something I know relatively little about is, like, licensing costs. And so I part of me is like, is it cheaper? But they do Les Mis all the time.
They do so many Les Mises. Also, you could honestly probably find, like, the 17th anniversary concert where it was, like, some fucking woman singing it. And it would probably be better and probably cheaper than paying Fox for the Glee version.
That's actually true. You're right. I don't know. Okay, can I say this is by far not the worst part about this cover, but something that annoys me is that I don't like it in general when people change pronouns in music, because it just is, it's usually for the purpose of, like, I'm straight, don't get it twisted, which is, like, just calm down. But
wait, hold on, Megan.
They change it from straight to gay, but actually it's mother and daughter in this one, and it's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's just deeply misunderstanding context. I would like to talk about Wakaba Higuchi just because I need to calm down.
I would always love to talk about Wakaba Higuchi.
Speaking of just questionable musical theater choices, The Lion King.
I actually really like this.
No,
I
me
think
too.
I think that it's a fantastic choice. So first of all, this is not even the first time we've seen Lion King from the Japanese women's team recently, because Rika had a Lion King exhibition for a while. Get well soon, Rika.
Yeah.
But I like the way that the Japanese ladies team has tended to interpret The Lion King, because it's obviously, like, even though it's, like, Africa vague, it is clearly, like, an Africa story.
Yeah.
And so I think this is an example of maybe a way to do another culture respectfully. I'm not of African descent, so don't listen to what I say if somebody else disagrees who has more authority on it than me. But that didn't feel like the costumes were like tribal, quote unquote, or anything embarrassing like that. And it was like, you know, it's about a Lion King or a Lion Queen or whatever. And so they put a nice tiara on her, but it wasn't like overly any particular culture. It just felt like royalty and fun and fantasy. And maybe that's easier when you're dealing with a narrative that is like already one step removed by making it animals. But
yeah, and also the source material is like Eurocentric, and then it has been put through the lens of like an African story, but also like that was created by a predominantly Western and predominantly white team, and then it's also animated and it's lions. There is many, many degrees of like it's not like she's using like traditional like North African music to like do actual like tribal vague bullshit, which is why I think it's
fine. And that's why I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Shailen did a really good job with the choreography, because at no point was there any like embarrassing stereotypical like white people trying to dance Africanly. It wasn't like the Lion King version of the Middle Eastern arms. Like there was none of that. It was literally just like, we're taking some music, we're taking the idea of royalty and like an emotional journey, and that's what we're going with. I love that.
Yeah. I'm curious about why, and I'm not judging it because I completely would do that, but we have seen, like, she's doing Lion King, Italia spoilers, Sofia Samadurova is doing Mulan, which I have many thoughts about, which we're gonna get to next week. Why are those women in their early 20s doing children's animated movies from the 90s? I am not opposed to it. I'm actually obsessed with the fact that this is a trend now. But how have we come to arrive here?
I think it's because of the way that they're doing the live actions now. And they're like they being Disney is like sort of giving people permission to be like, revisit this thing from your childhood. And I believe that the one that Wakaba is doing is from the film with like Beyonce. And it's
Well,
if it's Beyonce, of course. I haven't seen the Mulan one yet. Is it from the Disney cartoon or from
Oh, it sure is. Oh, it's from the cartoon. There's, you know, the like synth, dramatic scene where she's like cutting her hair and shit. And it's like so dramatic, but it's just straight up like this, like, orchestral synth situation.
That's the choreo sequence. That was the first time I ever in my life was like, this is what music is. This is what I want to do. This is what music is.
That was also the first time in my life where I was like, oh, gender is completely made up. We're going to talk about this next week because I have thoughts and feelings about being a little Slavic femme person doing Mulan, because my God, we're going to get there. But yeah, I will say, as long as we're revisiting movies from the 90s, animated features from the 90s that have since gotten like some sort of revamp, Anastasia is now very much a theater, a stage show. And honestly, some of the edits are garbage, but beyond that, it's been a hot second since someone has skated an Anastasia program. And I would like to manifest it, please.
Yeah, let's all manifest that, because I haven't
Before the Monkey's Paw Curls, real quick, if anyone in the universe is listening, if we're getting an Anastasia program, I would like it to not be cut by Daniil fucking Glickenhaus, because I will not stand that.
No, he is the Rasputin of figure skating. I don't know why, he just is.
Rasputin, like straight up historical Rasputin just killed so many people. Oh, he was responsible for
killing so many
people. Oh,
yeah, I'm sorry. I just meant he's the villain. Okay. I mean the cartoon, cartoon Rasputin. Maybe he's more like the bat because he's Russian and annoying.
And just the evil sidekick, just annoying evil sidekick.
Yeah, I take this
back.
No,
but Bartok is very nice.
I like Bartok, but I do think that there are similarities to be drawn. Anyway, I think the musical of Anastasia is good from what I have heard, and I like Christy Altimer, as long as we're talking about, like, soprano actors who are in the Michelle vein. I think that they sort of always, like, got the same roles, and I like Christy Altimer's interpretation of music better.
Yeah, it's because they were both in the original Broadway cast of Spring Awakening and then went on to do different things. I am I am very passionate about this collection of people who used to be 15 years ago the original Broadway cast of Spring Awakening and then went up to do a bunch of different weird things. And they're about to have a reunion concert, and I'm about to, despite my better judgment, cry so much about it. Welcome. I love musical theater very much. My main thing about the Anastasia stage
also,
show
Anastasia
is that
Flaherty and Aarons, who are like my favorites ever. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I have to shut them out.
No, yes, but also they have changed, like, Rasputin is straight up not in the stage show.
Yeah, it's like a different hot Russian guy, right?
Yeah, it's a guy named Gleb. And also, like, Roman Kremlu was playing him in the original broadcast, so it's like, it was beautiful and, like, fun and good, but, like, I would like to see full. I would have loved to see like the spooky Mormon Hell Dream variation of In the Dark of the Night with like weird staging where like the stage is the inside of his ribcage and shit. Like it could have been so good. Also,
like
this
an
is
Alice
not
Cooper
what the people
concert.
Have paid to listen to. Yes, I have a lot
okay.
of thoughts and feelings.
Well, then let's
about
talk
Anastasia.
About it.
Anyway, women.
Alyssa Liu?
Yes.
No segue.
I continue to be obsessed with their programs this year. I'm finally kind of sold on ICE. I've been sold on the vibe for a hot second, but I'm finally sold on like the vibes. Also, wait, I just opened Alyssa's wiki because I like having their wikis open. And it's just, you know when you can tell that someone who knows the person has written their wiki page.
Yeah.
I'm not even like reading this. I'm just scrolling past it, and each of her seasons is just like full, like massive paragraphs. It's full, like a school report on Alyssa Liu. Someone took their fucking time writing this. And I respect that.
They really did. Oh my God. Alyssa's doing Rainbow by Kacey Musgraves as her exhibition.
It's cute. It's very
That's
cute.
Adorable. Very LGBTQ culture. So I think that the short program is, it's the Don Quixote, and it's, at first I was like, this is bringing out the worst of her tendency to just put on like the grinning emoji and just slap it on.
Insane energy.
Just absolutely unhinged energy. I do think she's growing into it. I absolutely adore this bright fluorescent red. And it's kind of a thing this season. Costume wise, it's the same bright fluorescent red that is in Camila's weird bolero costume, but the color, aside from all the weird issues we had with it in the main episode, I do like the color, and I love this like solid color on Alyssa. I think her costumes are stunning. I think that at least in the free skate, the Tchaikovsky, I saw her bringing more different emotions, and I really feel like Skate Canada was a big step forward in terms of their like emotional projection.
It's one of those, Alyssa is one of those skaters that, like, we've seen this early in the season, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to be seeing those programs in, like, a couple of months, because that's going to be dangerous.
They feel Olympic to me. And I know I'm saying that from a place of, like, if you had told me 2 years ago, like, Alyssa's definitely going to the Olympics, I probably would have been mad. But a lot can change in that time, and I do believe that if she continues to grow at this rate with these programs, they will have earned it. And it is a really lovely example of both, I think, costumes, music, choreography, all of it together being like, yes, this is an Olympic year. You know, this is grandiose. This is our top best efforts in all fronts. Like, that's what I want to see from everybody.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've had questions about so many questions about people being like, this is the Olympic year. What are you doing? And Alyssa's set of programs, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense.
Alyssa's been working with Massimo Scali, who we know coaches Daniel Grasso and Gabrielle Frangipani. And Alyssa's spoken about, you know, having fun with the Team Italy when she works there. But I also was trying to figure out if Massimo Scali was the choreographer of the like really, really good Wakaba Poeta and like worked with Keiji Tanaka a lot. And I read a whole interview with him about working with her and with Keiji. And I think that his style, it's interesting. We've actually been talking a little bit of like what other choreographers would we like to see Alyssa work with as she continues to grow and explore what her style is. And it's Benoit, the end. But I don't know if I would have said Massimo Scali, but it makes a lot of sense to me because he's very theatrical and showy. And when we talk about that entertaining skating, like that's his style. So I do think it's a good fit.
Yeah, I'm finally like I said, I'm on board with the full package at this point, which honestly, I'm happy to have arrived here because it's a good place to be mentally going into, like, inching ever closer to the Olympics, which are very much in, like, what, 14 weeks or something?
Oh my God, I know. The other thing I wanted to shout out was the free program of Hae and Lee. It was the homage to Korea. It was the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen. Short program, not so much. I think the Schubert Ave Maria is the lamest Ave Maria. I'm sorry. But the homage to Korea was, like, the most beautiful thing ever. It was the costume that was like the modern figure skating version of the traditional hanbok. It was the like mix of music. Oh my God, it was just incredible.
Yeah, you know when I say that, like, I think I've done it about like Russians and like other people, I'm always like, it doesn't, just because you're from a place, it doesn't mean that you always have to have like do programs of like that culture or like of evoking like your home country. But this is such a good way to do it, and it's just so beautiful. And like, so I mean, it's in the title of it. It's such a good homage to like her origin, and I am obsessed with it.
Yeah, I think that at the start of the Olympic cycle, it was all about like Eunsoo Lim, who luckily came back, and we get to talk about her next time. But it was all about like Eunsoo Lim, and then it was about Young Yoo, and I think that we've seen like Hae Lee and Yilim Kim and a couple other of the Korean ladies kind of just stay like sort of in the background, but like be kind of these dark horses coming up and up and up. And then now this is, and they're coming forward. They're like, we have triple axels, we have gorgeous programs, we have all these skills that we've learned. And it's just like a fantastic time for Korean lady skating.
Yeah. Korean lady skating is just dangerous. All of them are, I think their just school of skating is one of my favorites. And I think everyone you just listed, I think this generation of Korean lady skating is just so unique, and everything they do is so gorgeous. And I think all of them manage to like balance just the beauty and the grace and the drama with also being very good technicians and like having the jumps and like fucking showing up with the triple axels and everything. And I think it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely the Yuna Kim effect of, we're going to invest a ton in this sport because we have this amazing champion. And then, you know, five, whatever, how many years down the road, we're starting to see these fruits all like, that's not, fruits of labor, or like, I don't know. I'm sorry, I just called them fruits. I don't, or maybe I'm not, but they're people. And they're,
no, but I know what you mean, though. It's
they've matured to a point where it's like all coming together.
Yeah, it's like the direct influence. You can see like the next step, which I think is always, it's moving and it's exciting. And it's, we're going to talk more about it when we talk about Italy next week. But I kind of saw the same thing with like the new wave of Japanese men, where it's like, you can tell that those children like have been watching Yuzu skate for a decade since they were children and like growing up, and you can see like the ripples of that influence, and it's very emotional. And I feel like this is the first time we get to see this, because like last time a generation of skaters grew up was when we were growing up as well. So now like people that like, you know, like people that
I totally know what you mean.
To watch as children are now coaches. So that's like a different like mind fuck of a situation. But now we're seeing like, as spectators, as like grown-up adult spectators, we're seeing like a generation be influenced by people that we've seen just like grow up and skate and become like those iconic figures.
Absolutely. And that's shit, like, I remember,
it makes me excited. It makes me so excited. Carry on.
It is. Sorry. Yeah. No, I was going to say, first of all, I think we also see that with the Canadian ladies, as we were saying, with like the Caitlin Osmond effect. And I think that we also, that's a good point about the generational thing. Cause I think the last time that I was really like, the time that I would say was like totally a previous generation, it was when I was really into like Ashley Wagner and Gracie Gold. And they're like about the same age as me. So you're right. This is like the first time of me being like, Wow, things are changing. The circle of life. Maybe Wakaba Higuchi was right.
It is
when she wrote The Lion King.
Circle.
This is the blackout line. This is it. Wakaba Higuchi
Karen
was
Chen,
right.
We love you, and you continue to be robbed. But I just—it's too sad to talk about how awful, how dirty you have been done. It's disgusting, and I can't spend too much time on it, or else I'll cry.
I will do arson. I've lost my reaction image of Elizabeth Tursunbayeva saying, "I am going to do arson," and I miss it.
That was the best.
Because that's
image.
How I feel.
I miss her.
Yeah. I miss her, and I'm proud of her for taking care of herself and knowing when she had to, like, call it.
Also, I love you, Monica Wabe. I miss your Grinch program, and I hate the Max Richter reinterpretation of Vivaldi. I think it's bullshit and stupid, but I love you anyway.
Yes, she is fantastic. I like that you're just making sure that everyone knows that we appreciate him. There is not a single person in this roster that I'm like, eh, whatever. But this is a fantastic event.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Wakaba Higuchi was right when she wrote The Lion King.
She was. It's the circle of life. It's the Wheel of Fortune.
A real quick dream that I want to put out into the universe is that if we ever become big enough that someone makes one of those bots that just tweets shit that we've said every hour or something, I want it to just every 15 minutes tweet out Wakaba Higuchi was right when she wrote The Lion King. I don't know why this is the funniest thing that you've ever said. I wanted a t-shirt. I wanted a tote bag. I am obsessed. I'm broken. My brain is broken.
Well, if you are listening to this, you've already been to Patreon, and that is why you are secretly our favorites, but it's not a secret.
Thank you so much for keeping the lights on in our metaphorical studio and making things possible. From the turnaround of all of the content that you're receiving from us, I hope you can tell we've been working very hard, and it would be simply physically impossible without your support. So thank you very much. And also, hey, if you're here, tell a friend. Maybe don't tell them about Patreon, because that's a level of commitment that, you know, people should decide for themselves. But let your friends know that we're fun. We love welcoming new people into this circle. The circle of life.
Yes, we do. And if anybody joins between now and the next episode, I will personally fly to where they are and lift them above a cliff like Rafiki and baby Simba, and all of the animals will bow to them.
Everything the light touches is our Patreon. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, we should call it before we accidentally say something even dumber.
Yeah, thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back before you know it, because the Grand Prix keeps coming and it won't stop coming, and there's so much
like
to
a
stamp
like a stampede of wildebeests,
like all of the hyenas and whatever else is in The Lion King.
That is true.
Hakuna Matata.
So we'll see you next time.
Thank
Hakuna
you for
Matata.
Listening.
Peace out. Thank you.
Bye.